Welcome back to another episode of Draws in Spanish. Like I've said quite a few times, this is a podcast that showcases the creative journey of notable Latinx visual artists and designers. I'm your host, illustrator, podcaster, and newbie YouTuber, Fabiola Lara. Thank you for being with me today for another episode. Today, I'm honored to chat with Brooklyn-based artist Niege Borges. Niege is, of course, Latine, but unlike our previous guest, she's Brazilian. So for today's episode, we'll call the show Draws in Portuguese just in her honor. Niege is an acclaimed illustrator and designer who has worked with clients like TikTok, Instagram, and Vogue. Her illustrations are dynamic, colorful, and feature bold line work that just make every image so playful and full of movement. Let's get right into our chat with Niege today. Hey, Niege, welcome to Draws in Portuguese, just for you. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Before we get started, can you introduce yourself for any listeners who aren't familiar with your work?
Hi, Fabiola. I am Niege Borges. I am a visual artist. I'm Brazilian, and I am based in Brooklyn, New York.
I'm so happy. I was so excited when you agreed to be on the podcast. It was like a huge day for me. So thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you. So I know you said you grew up in Brazil. Can you tell us about your upbringing in Brazil and what that was like? Just anything notable from growing up there?
I was always into art when I was a kid. Like I would go to museums with my mom and I was always interested in arts, but I never thought exactly that I was going to study arts. I'm in Brazil right now because I'm visiting. Here in Brazil, people see art as like something that maybe you can make a living out of it. At least when I was a kid, that was what it was like. So I was into art, but I never saw that as like a profession. And yeah, but I had a very cool childhood and I would just like, I had a treehouse and I'm an only child and I would play alone a lot, but also I have friends, you know.
What part of Brazil did you grow up in?
I'm from the south of Brazil. My hometown is Porto Alegre, the last state down there in Brazil.
Oh, amazing, amazing. That's beautiful. Would you consider that your family was really creative or do you think it was just you?
I think it was mainly me, but my father, he was always like constructing stuff in the house. He was doing a lot of like woodwork, like build wood boxes and stuff like that for no reason.
Well, your treehouse, right?
In my treehouse, yes. So I guess I was always inspired by that. I always liked that he was always like building stuff. And my mom, she was a journalist. Now she's retired. So I guess I was inspired. Like she was always making me, not making me, but like introducing me to books and movies, but I was the creative one, I guess.
Nice. Well, it still seems like maybe they just had different professions, but they still, like writing and journalism can still be very creative and same with construction. But I get what you're saying. It's not as like, you know, musician or I don't know, something like that. Now that you mentioned that you never saw art as a profession, how was it like for you to pursue art as a profession? Was your family on board with that? You know, what was that like?
Yeah, no, they were fine with that, especially because I guess I think they would be fine with whatever I decided to pursue. But I studied graphic design in college. So I think that's like more easy to convince anyone if I needed to do any convincing. But yeah, no, they were very chill about it. And I just remember that I actually, when I was a kid, I did a drawing class with my dad. We both went to the same class, which was cute.
Oh, that is so cute.
Yeah, we did it for like a little while to like learn to draw like human anatomy and stuff like that. And of course, he was way better than me because he was like, I don't know, 40 and I was like 7.
Do you have a drawing from that time that you remember? What do you remember from that class?
I remember mostly, I don't think I have anything anymore, but I remember doing a lot of like black and white pencil drawings. And it was one of those classes that just like, this is how a face should like and should look like. And then you like just draw a perfect, you know, face and a perfect body.
Yeah, like figure drawing.
Yeah. So yeah, I remember a lot of that. But it was fun. I really liked it.
Ooh, maybe that was the spark.
Yeah, maybe it did help.
So I know you mentioned that you attended university for graphic design. What made you choose graphic design at the time?
To be honest, I was already interested in graphic design, but I wasn't super informed in all like the possibilities in the graphic design field yet at the time. But I did study like some softwares like Illustrator and Photoshop when I was in high school. So I already knew that I wanted something in that field, but I wasn't sure specifically what. And then here in Brazil, there was this scholarship program from the government. And then I managed to get a scholarship for graphic design at the time. It was cool because then I was like, oh, here is some free college. So I was just like, one of my options was graphic design within the options that I was looking into. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to study graphic design and see how that goes.
What were the other degrees you were thinking about?
Yeah, I was thinking of architecture, which I'm so glad I didn't choose that because that's probably very complicated, and history, which is just random.
Okay, I could see architecture with your dad working in construction, your artistic frame of mind. I could see architecture could have also worked, but I'm glad you chose graphic design because I love to see your work now. Did you end up working as a graphic designer before pursuing illustration?
Yeah, my first job, it was an internship at an advertising agency in Brazil. And I was hired there to be a graphic designer. But then they saw that I could draw and then they were like, oh, can you draw this? And then like I was just making a lot of drawing for them also. But I also was doing graphic design work. And then after that, while I was doing freelance work, I was doing a lot of graphic design work too. And I still do it sometimes. I do both. I am focusing way more on illustration, but if I have spare time, sometimes I take some graphic design projects.
Oh, nice. What made you kind of want to push more towards illustration instead of kind of, you know, going further with graphic design?
Yeah, I think it was just something that I was more interested in for a long time when I was doing graphic design work. I noticed that like big part of what the clients were enjoying on my designs were the illustrations, like that I would incorporate into the designs. And clients would come to me to do very like illustrative work when they wouldn't come just for illustrations. They would be like, oh, we need this design, but we also need to have like illustrations. So I guess I realized that my strongest asset was my like ability to draw. And it is also what makes me happier, I guess. It's like what I prefer doing it. So when I saw that I was getting more commissions for illustrations, then I was like, okay, now I should focus on this. And since this is working and I am happy doing it, I think I'll have like a happier like work life if I focus on that. So
you were working in graphic design, kind of doing a little bit more illustration while you were still in Brazil, right? After college. And then at some point, you decide to move to the US to pursue illustration. So can you tell me about that time and why you were thinking that way?
Yeah, first, I wasn't necessarily thinking of staying in the US. I just went because I had clients there already. So I was getting paid in dollars and I could like afford to stay in New York for a while. And I went there and I decided to take some classes at the School of Visual Arts just so I could like not just be in New York, you know, I could just like visit the city but also do something while I was there.
Yeah, take advantage of your time there.
Yeah. And see how I liked it also. So I took these classes at SVA and I was supposed to stay 3 months in New York and then I stayed 5 months and then I had to go back to Brazil because of the visa. So I decided to go back and I got an artist visa.
Amazing. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, thanks. So yeah, it is very annoying to get it. And eventually I ended up getting married to an American also.
Congratulations. Even though I'm sure it's been a long time now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. I mean, not that long, but it's been a little while. So, and then I stayed because of him, but also because I really like New York and because it was like working for my career and everything was working out.
What year was that you decided to move to New York and kind of begin that chapter?
It was 2015.
Incredible. Well, I know that getting an artist visa is really hard, and I know the U.S. immigration system is horrendous. So congratulations for doing that. That's really an accomplishment. Besides like all of the client work and amazing work that you do, that alone is a really big deal. So anyway, that's cool. And I hope that anyone listening who's thinking, can I do that? You know, it gives them a little bit of perspective and expands kind of their possibilities. Like, oh, it's possible people can get this visa.
Yeah, the artist visa, if you look into the immigration website, is like, it sounds way more terrible than it is. Like, it sounds way harder to get, but it is hard, but it's not as hard as they make it seem on the website.
You also just have to get the right people to do the work for you. Before we move on to talk more about your work, because I'm so excited to do that, but I want to make sure we talk about your culture and like your background, because it's such a big part of who you are, right? Because you grew up there. Do you think that being Brazilian influences your illustration work?
Yeah, I think it does somehow. I'm still like, I was asked that question before and I'm still like not completely sure on what the answer is, but I think maybe the way that I am inspired by dance, maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, I think I always like to portray like movement in general. So I don't know if that comes from the fact that I came from a place that really values dancing, I guess. Those values is the word, but
prioritizes.
Yeah, we are associated with a lot of dancing. I think also one thing that I think of when I think of my Brazilian heritage, I guess, is because it inspires me to draw people in different like shapes. And I know that happens in every country, but like the Brazilian woman is like curvier, I guess, you know, like you don't see like tons of very skinny people here. So I guess that inspires me in the way that I draw people.
Yeah, like maybe you're not conscious of it every single day, but in your life, when you think of people and figures, you have a wider perspective, and so you naturally include them in your work. I know that if somebody asked me that question, I'd be like, I'm not sure, but I think all these little things that make you who you are filter into your work little by little, and you don't even notice.
Yeah, of course, because I think everything that we end up absorbing influences us in different ways, right? Like if you watch a movie, or if you go to an art exhibition, I think everything is an influence in some sort of way. And yeah, I think definitely there's stuff here from Brazil that influenced me and I maybe don't even realize, you know. But I mostly think about stuff from like my childhood that I was like going to like used magazine stores and I would just buy like old magazines because I like how they looked and stuff like that. And I would buy a bunch of fashion magazines because it was just cheaper to buy old ones. And I was always like interested in looking at like the fashion editorials, so stuff like that. But the country itself, maybe like you said, is something that influences me in a way that I don't even realize sometimes exactly how.
The colors in your work are so vibrant. It could be many things, but I think it also has to be that you're from Brazil and it's so colorful there and it's so tropical and warm and you can convey that very naturally and, it, you know, probably effortlessly into your drawings.
Yeah, I think that makes sense for sure.
So speaking of magazines and fashion illustration, I know that this is a really big kind of theme in your work. So how much of a big deal was it when you got to work with Vogue Brazil?
Oh, yeah, I was so excited. Yeah, I always loved Vogue and I was always like buying old Vogues when I was a kid. So I was very excited when they reached out to me. I was like, yeah, I was like, how and where did you find me? I made two covers for them. That was like for their special digital editions of Vogue. And the focus was like sustainability and the other one, the most recent one, was to bring awareness to breast cancer. So yeah, they were very different teams, but yeah, they're both like great to work on. And the sustainability one, they wanted to have like a more nature look to it. They sent me some of my own illustrations that I had, like artworks of women in nature, and they wanted something similar to that. And it was super fun because it's something that I really like to draw. It's just women and trees and women floating, which was when I ended up drawing for them. And the other one was like more specific, the breast cancer one. They wanted to just have someone with their hand like on their breast and like at the same time kind of hiding, not showing completely. And they wanted to be a Black woman because apparently here in Brazil, there is like the highest rate of breast cancer is within like the Black population.
They turned out beautiful.
Thank you.
What was the timeline for that project?
Oh, it was insane. It was like they reached out to me like maybe like on a Friday and they needed it for a Monday. So it was just like, do you want it? And then I was like, yeah, it's long.
I have to do it. I can't say no. Ah, amazing. And like, what a beautiful full circle moment for you, from buying magazines, used magazines, to drawing the cover. Ah, I love it. It's beautiful. It makes my heart like warm. On the topic of Brazil, before we move on, are there any Brazilian stereotypes that you've encountered in the US or in general that you're tired of and you want to mention and we can talk about it?
Yeah, I think I hear a lot that all Brazilian women are beautiful. And I guess some people take that as a compliment. But like when you hear it late at night and you're like entering your Uber, and the Uber driver is like, oh, all Brazilian women are beautiful. And you're like, me and other Brazilian women like that I talk to, like, we really don't like to listen to that because it's just like a whole population of women like is like beautiful. And it's like part of, it may sound like as a nice thing to them to say, but it's like kind of also sexualizing Brazilian women.
Constantly,
yeah. Like they associate Brazilian women with sex and women that are, I don't know, easy or something like that, which is completely fine. I don't know if you're easy, that's totally fine. But like, you can't assume that like every woman is, you know, very sexual like that or something, you know. So it is a little annoying, especially when you hear that from people that you don't have any intimacy with.
Yeah, just like random people in your life. You're just like, why are you telling me this?
People ask all the time about if I follow soccer. Also, which I don't.
That really caught me off guard. I did not expect that. That's so funny. Going back to art and illustration and design, what was the first moment that you realized that you could have a creative career? Was there one drawing or one class, one teacher that kind of inspired you?
It was when I started maybe seeing other professional works from other artists that I was really inspired, and especially like seeing Brazilian artists. There was this Brazilian magazine at the time. I think they maybe are still around as a website. And it was cool because it was showing mostly Brazilian artists. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. Like they seem to maybe be making a career out of this. And they're like doing collaborations with brands and stuff like that. So that's when I realized that that was possible. I didn't thought it was going to be like easy or anything, but I thought that like, oh, maybe I can do this. And I guess when I first got my internship also like at the advertising agency, and they saw that I was drawing, and then they're like, I wasn't even being hired to draw in the first place.
They kind of, you know, yeah, took advantage of that you could draw.
yeah, they started taking advantage of that, and then I was very successful there. So yeah, I think that showed me that, oh, you can actually make a living off illustration and not just design. You know?
Do you remember your first illustration project that was just you, not for an agency or anything?
Oh, I don't even remember because it was a long time ago. And I was getting hired at first. I think the most meaningful one that I can remember of was like some illustrations for this magazine here from Brazil that was like, they still make it until this day, and they are, is like this these beautiful magazines that had like a lot of illustration and like infographic and stuff like that. And they were hiring me to make some illustrations for that magazine. I was like super excited about because it was like a big magazine at the time. But I can't remember what I was drawing actually.
But you remember that was like one of the first times that you were excited about getting hired and it was a big deal to you.
Yeah, exactly. Because like they found me online and it was just like there wasn't Instagram or anything. It was like Flickr times.
How did you land on this kind of vibrant illustration style that you have today? Do you feel like you went through a lot of versions or do you think it was like instant for you?
No, I think, I definitely went through a lot of different phases. When I first started, I was doing something completely different than that. I was doing like more outlined drawings with some coloring just here and there. And then I was doing more like vector illustration because I was getting like a lot of commissions for like clients that were like more corporate or even like, or even like this magazine, I remember it was something vector because it works well for publications too. Like, and yes, I was doing like more like geometric vector illustrations because I was having fun doing that because I saw other illustrators doing that and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I was like trying to find my own language and aesthetic through that. So I was doing that for a while and I was getting commissions for that. And then eventually I was just bored of doing that type of job. And still there's a bunch of people that do it like beautifully, of course. But like for me, it wasn't working anymore. So I started to just draw like people and having fun, like making up some people and drawing them and drawing like people that I was getting poses like inspired by like fashion editorials and stuff like that. So the aesthetic that you see today started showing up on that time. And at first I was just doing vectors still, but like not as geometric anymore. And I was like more organic. And then I was like, you know what, I'm not doing vector, I'm doing this, but on Photoshop. And then I started to like adding brush strokes and stuff like that.
I love to hear that because I feel like everyone, when they first start out, doesn't know which way to go. And they kind of go with what the trends, like you're saying, like vectors. And it's also you start getting that work kind of fast because it's in demand. And then if you decide to do something else, it's really hard to figure out what that is. And to hear your experience and how you slowly kind of started to develop your own voice and style. I just love to hear that because I think personally, it happens to me, like I'm in the middle of trying to figure that out. But it's really hard because what's trendy that you did before is always kind of in demand, right? It's like people keep coming to me for old stuff and I'm just like, I have to delete this. I don't want to do it anymore. But it's really hard to then be like, what's next? You know, what is that look for me? And so whenever I hear someone did it, and I love how your stuff looks like now, it's very exciting and inspiring and like gives me like hope.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people like really struggle to find their aesthetic. And I did it too. I mean, I can't even say like struggle, but you're like still like trying to find what you like doing. And at some point, like I was really enjoying making vectors. I thought that was it, you know, but then eventually you see, no, that wasn't it. So I think there's always like a room for change. Just because you did like something in a certain style in the past, it doesn't mean you can just completely change that. You can, like you say, you can delete everything if you want. Yeah, but I understand that clients keep like coming back to you and ask for it. For me, eventually, when I started like posting, I decided that I wasn't going to post any of these more like geometric vector style on Instagram. Then I was just posting this new aesthetic I was working on. And then I started to get commissions with that aesthetic. So that was really cool.
What advice would you have for me, let's say, because I'm in the middle of that. I'm like, I want to change, but also I'm still trying to figure out what that change is.
I guess I would say for you to just keep really practicing and just creating a lot of stuff, like whenever you have time, you know, like to just try to, I'm going to create a series of like three illustrations that will look like this. And then you try those and then you create another 3 illustrations that will look like something else, maybe, you know, and then maybe you're going to start mixing up the different styles and mixing everything together into like a new style, you know. Like, I think doing it is like the best way to do it, you know. Like, right now I'm playing with some new texture for my illustrations, you know, like I'm just seeing what works, you know, like, and maybe I'll start using that. So yeah, I think you should just like keep really testing and putting out there, but also without caring too much, you know, about likes and stuff like that, because yeah, that doesn't really measure it. What's important?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. All right, everybody, we have to just keep making stuff. If you're on the same boat like me, we just have to keep trying, keep making stuff. Speaking of different tools, like you were saying, you're testing out some new brushes. What tools are your favorite to create your work in?
So I like to start sketching on Illustrator, which I know is not super common because a lot of people sketch in Photoshop. And like, I recently did like a tutorial for Adobe, and like people were in the comments like, why are you sketching on Illustrator? And then I was like, sorry.
Don't apologize.
Yeah, I mean, I explained that like I like to sketch on Illustrator because I can play better with the shapes. Like if I draw someone's face and then I want to like pull their eyes in a certain way using the paths on Illustrator, I can do that more easily than on Photoshop. Of course, you can do all that on Photoshop, but I like to just play with proportions on Illustrator because then you have the flexibility of the vector.
And do you use mouse or Wacom, or what are you using for that?
A Wacom, yes. I have 2 Wacoms, but the one that I use the most is one of those like super basic ones that doesn't even have a screen, you know, those that you just plug. I have a Cintiq also that has a screen, but it's very big. So I don't use that like as often, but that is cool, especially because nowadays some clients want to see like your process also to post on their social media. So it is cool to have like a big screen to like show you actually drawing, you know, instead of like the boring Wacom that is just black.
That's very funny. Yeah. For the photo op, just like for the setup.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, here's me drawing. Yeah. But I mean, sometimes I do use it without, you know, filming because it is fun. Sometimes I do use it because it feels like you're drawing not on paper, but the closest you can get, I guess, to paper. But yeah, my favorite, because I'm used to and I use since college, is the little Wacom without screen. Then I transfer the sketches to Photoshop and I color everything. Sometimes I start coloring in Illustrator even just to change the colors and test colors, just like a very rough version of the illustration in Illustrator, just to like test the colors and change colors more easily and like faster. But sometimes I color straight on Photoshop, and then the textures and shadows and everything that is also in Photoshop. So
amazing. So you're not using an iPad for your work?
No, I have one, and I will eventually sketch on that when I am like in the subway or like traveling, but I get very distracted outside also, so I don't use it as much as I thought I would when I bought it, to be honest. But I did make some small like animations on Procreate for personal projects, because it is really fun. Also, Procreate is really fun.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you if you had any plans for incorporating any sort of animation, because your work has so much like movement in the poses that I'm like, is the next frontier for you animation?
Yeah, I thought about that. I even like one of the classes I did at SVA in New York was animation. So I know very basic animation, but I don't think I'm going to learn that because it is a lot of things to learn. It's like a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like one little thing. It's a huge thing. Yeah.
I can make like frame to frame animations. I think anyone can do if you have patience, right? Like to just be drawing like the same thing multiple times. I don't have interest in becoming an animator because so far when I had my illustrations animated for some projects, like the company, the clients, they usually hire an animator to do it. Usually the deadline are kind of crazy. And then they prefer to have me illustrated and then just having someone else animating so I don't die.
Yeah, they can probably handle it faster, yeah. I think it's important to acknowledge when you're just like, eh, somebody else can do that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be too much for me. And I think I have other stuff that I would be more interested in learning than that.
Like what?
I really like 3D. I know nothing yet of 3D. And I know also that is a lot to learn, like animation. But if I were to choose something that is more complex to learn, I would take 3D classes.
Can you tell me about your recent project with TikTok? And like how that was like, since TikTok is huge right now. I love TikTok.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was one of my favorite projects so far, I guess. It was like this agency that is, I think everyone or almost everyone that is Latino. And they invited me to do this big campaign for TikTok for Hispanic Heritage Month. And at first, I was just hired to make illustrations, like portraits, full body, you know, illustrations of influencers, TikTok influencers. But then TikTok really loved the illustrations that I created, that they decided that they wanted to also make murals. So I was like super happy about it. They were like, oh, we're going to make murals too. But that also means that I have to draw more people, right? Because at that point, I did like, I think maybe 12 or 15 influencers, like real life people. And then the mural was supposed like to show how many like Latinx people are like on TikTok and like, you know, they have a bunch of followers and stuff like that. So the mural, the idea was to have like a lot of people to show that is like this whole diverse group of people. But then I could just make these people up, like it didn't have to be real life people because that would be a lot of work and the deadline was quite short. So then I was just like making up people and drawing some friends also. So like there's some friends of mine hidden.
I love it. Do you usually use photo reference for your figures?
Yes, I do. I do use references. I'm super careful, of course, to like not copy, right? Because we don't want that.
Yeah, but your style is so stylistic, I suppose, that it's like, it will be hard to make it look like the exact photo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you can even like take like stock photos just to know how a pose looks like. It doesn't even have to be like, oh, I'm going to take this picture from like Vogue, you know, like you can just like take a picture that is a stock anyway, and then just like, so you know how to draw, you know. Because, I mean, some people can draw from memory very well, but, like, I can't. Like, I need references.
Also, because with the movement, it's, like, kind of to capture the exact movement that you want to capture. If you get it wrong a little bit, it might not look like they're actually doing the expression, you know? Do you ever draw from life or sketch from life?
I used to. I did, like, a very small series of people that I saw on the subway in New York. So I would draw like very fast on a paper and then I would just do it in the computer at home, like, and finish it. But besides that, not really. Sometimes I go to some of those drink and draw nights, but those are very like, I'm not turning that into any projects. It's just for like sketching and having fun with friends. Sometimes I take pictures of myself to make it easier. Like if I want to make like a very specific pose, I just take pictures. So like that, the Vogue one for the breast cancer was just like, I was just like, you know what, I'm not going to find this pose online this way, so I'm just going to pose it and put someone else's face on it.
Okay, back to the TikTok mural. So you had to fill it up with a bunch of people, and what was, yeah, the overall timeline for that?
The overall project lasted like a while, maybe a month even, I don't know, but for the mural itself, I had, I think, less than a week. I think it was like crazy. I was drawing a lot. And I mean, at that point, I had already like the main influencers ready. For those, I did like probably in a week also. And then they were like taking a while to figure out the dimensions of the walls. And I really needed that. And I was just like, doesn't even have to be the measure exactly. Just I'm like, hints so I can start sketching, like, and I mean, I started sketching, you know, like the people and everything, but, and then I was going to put everything together, but I needed to know the dimensions. And then eventually, like, they had it, and I was just like making it like super fast, and yeah, and it was really cool. And the murals were hand painted by some companies that do that. So yeah, it was really cool to see people hand painting my illustrations in like a super large scale.
Yes, they look amazing. I love the color and the composition. I love everything about those murals. They look really cool. I'm like, congratulations again for that project.
Thank you.
Now that you worked with TikTok, are you on TikTok? Do you plan on joining TikTok?
I don't think so. Like, to be honest, I didn't have TikTok before I worked for TikTok. Like, I downloaded because of the project, because I know that is great. I know that is so much fun. Like, I see the best TikToks like on Twitter and on Instagram and stuff like that. So I was like, if I download it, I'm just going to be addicted. So I downloaded for the project to take a look on everything and on the influencers' profiles, and then to see how the campaign was looking like. But I didn't create like a profile, like I didn't post anything. And
you know, we talked about your campaign for TikTok and your covers for Vogue Brazil. What types of projects do you like taking on in general? Is it mostly editorial? Is it mostly commercial? Are there other types of projects that you like to take on?
Yeah, I think my favorites are the commercial ones. The TikTok one is a great example because I had a lot of creative freedom, which you usually get with editorial work. You get a good amount of creative freedom, but then you get to have it live in a bunch of places. While in editorial, it's just that one publication. Like with the TikTok project, for example, you have it like on a bunch of people's social media, and you have it, you know, on the streets and stuff like that. So commercials are definitely my favorite. I love, which I haven't done this yet, and I love it. I would love to do it, is packaging. I've been getting some inquiries, so maybe soon, but I also like to make illustrations for books. I only made one that is out already for a while, but it's not really my illustration style. It's something that I did a while ago, and I did it whatever like the client wanted, but also putting some of my aesthetic there. But nowadays I would do something like completely different.
I could totally see some books with your work on it as the cover, publishing.
Yeah, there's actually one coming out in December.
What is it? What's the book called?
The name of the book is The Regency Book of Drinks, and is going to be published by Abrams Books, is the name of the publisher. Yeah, so it's like a cocktail book, you know, they just have like a bunch of recipes of cocktails from the Regency era, you know, like they were inspired by that series on Netflix, Bridgerton. It's very colorful, you know. I took a bunch of inspiration. The inspiration for the color palette was from like the costumes and the set design. So yeah, the book is all the like Bridgerton vibe, you know, like flowers and fancy things and yeah, a lot of cocktails, yes.
Amazing. I can't wait to see it. Hopefully, I see you across more books. I'm assuming you did a cover or the interior illustrations for the book or both?
Yeah, both. I did the illustration for the cover. Someone else did the graphic design, but I did the illustrations and the interior also, yes.
What's a personal project that you would like to work on just, you know, on your own time when you have time?
I want to make more oil paintings because that's something that I really enjoy doing, but I often don't have time.
Yeah, I was going to say everything that you've been mentioning is very digital, which is amazing and makes sense for everything. But I was going to say, if you worked in anything traditional.
Yeah, I do make some oil paintings and I really have a lot of fun making them, and I'm trying to go back to it because I had so much client work the last months that when I was having free time, I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to relax. I'm not going to paint. I'm going to like see people. So I kind of stopped the oil painting. But in January, because now I'm in Brazil and I don't have any oil paintings here anymore. But when I go back to New York, I'm going to, you know, get into it.
Yes. And oil painting is... digital is so fast because you can make changes and, you know, everything. Oil painting is so slow. How do you have the patience for that? Do you like that part of oil painting?
Yes, I like it because I can, well, I like that it takes a long time to dry because you get to maybe fix something that you feel that needs fixing. And I kind of like to see, I've been playing like with layers of paint. So I like to see how the paint that is dry now, how I get to put like another layer on top and how that's going to look like, you know. If I don't like something, I just wait to dry and like put something on top, you know, like
it's flexible that way. Yeah,
it's very flexible. And I have patience. And sometimes I just am working on multiple stuff. Like if I'm doing the oil painting and it's drying, maybe I'm going to do something in the computer while it's drying, make a drawing in my computer in the meantime and kind of take a break from the oil painting.
Have you shared any oil paintings before?
Yeah, there's some on my Instagram a while back, if you scroll down.
I must have missed it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot, really. And some of my oil paintings, like, they could maybe even be done in acrylic because, you know, like, what I do, I think it could easily be achieved in acrylics also, but I just like the texture of oil.
I get that. I saw that you actually used to work with paper cuts, which is a medium that I'm exploring just now. But can you tell me about that era and like why you decided to maybe pivot?
I was just searching for something different to explore. I wasn't sure of what I was going to do, like illustration-wise. I was happy with just doing my like more commercial illustration looks and graphic design. And I also needed a break from the computer. I wanted to do something that could like pull me away from the screen for a little while. So I started to get like colorful paper. I always loved paper. Just, you know, go to the paper store and just, you know, buy different types of paper. So I was just having fun, you know. I always liked those scientific illustrations of plants. So I was like, what if I make that, but on paper? And then I was just like, kind of even therapeutic in a certain way. I don't know. It was just like fun to make. And I liked how it looks. And I like to play with the different colors, you know, that bold color that the paper has. But yeah, but then eventually I started kind of not having so much patience anymore.
Yeah, it's very time intensive, kind of like oil painting, but yeah.
But yeah, but then you have to cut it and then your hand shakes and then it's just
yeah,
like,
you have to like draw it and then plan how to cut it. And it's like, that's where I'm struggling right now, but I still enjoy it, but
yeah,
I understand.
It is a lot of work. Sometimes I do think of maybe exploring that, but with my illustrations and see what I could make if I print some illustrations and how I could like give some depth to the illustrations while printing them and creating little scenarios or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It also explains why you like or are interested in the 3D, because you could also replicate stuff like that in 3D now. I've been seeing people, you know, do stuff like that. Could be interesting. Do you have a dream client or dream project that you would like to work on? I feel like you've worked with so many amazing clients at this point, but is there anything else out there that you're hoping to accomplish?
Yes, I would love to work with like some big fashion brand. Like for example, Gucci, they hired some illustrators for campaigns. They have a painter that does a bunch of stuff for them. So I'm not trying to take his place because he's like amazing. It's Ignacy something, his name, right? But they eventually Gucci hires illustrators to do some little projects. So I would love to do something for Gucci. Gucci, please call me.
Yes, Gucci, who's definitely listening. Amazing. I could totally see that. I'm actually surprised that, have you worked with any fashion brands before?
No, that I worked with a small fashion brand, but not any like major.
Yeah, I'm just realizing that you've been doing like editorial fashion, but not necessarily working directly with a brand. That would be incredible. Oh, I know it's going to happen. It's a matter of time. Niege, thank you so much for your time. I have to say I had a wonderful time just connecting with you and talking to you. I personally love your work. I think it's so cool. And when I saw your TikTok campaign, I was just so impressed. Thank you for your time all the way from Brazil.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. I had a great time.
Okay, everyone, thanks for listening to this amazing chat with the illustrator Niege Borges. As always, I'll be leaving Niege's links in the description so you can explore her work. It's incredible. Just a little reminder, listeners of the podcast can get a free undated weekly and monthly planner inspired by the show by using the link in our show notes or going to drawsinspanish.com. If you want to hear more from me, you can find me on YouTube where I post studio vlogs and tutorials about my life as an illustrator slash podcaster every other week between Draws in Spanish episodes. So technically, you have something new from me every week. My channel is at Fabiolita Draws, but you can also click on the link in the show notes and it'll take you right there. Lastly, if there's a Latinx visual artist based in the U.S. that you think we should speak to on this show, go ahead and nominate them by going to drawsinspanish.com/nominate. Now, do me a favor and hit subscribe so you don't miss the next episode of Draws in Spanish. Thank you and hasta la próxima. Ciao!